It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back. Amen. Praise God. We have been off for several days, and part of my testimony, I will explain that a little bit. But we're glad to be with you this morning, and we're just praising the Lord for that. So it is time now for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship and fellowship. We ask that your spirit will teach us the things we need to know this morning as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Bless us as always, Lord, helping us to grow close to you, always to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
it's about
Amen. We're talking today about the conversion of Saul. We're in Acts chapter 9. There's much in here, 43 verses, and it's not just the conversion of Saul, but a lot of beautiful themes will be presented here today. So let us pray. Father in heaven, as we open the Word of God, we pray that you bless us. We pray that the Word will speak to our hearts and that we will feel and sense the presence of the Lord, that we will be just bathed by your love and fall in love with you, and a miracle take place in our hearts if we've never been converted. For we will learn about conversion today. Saul will be converted and will eventually be the Apostle Paul. We pray that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is an important topic. We're talking about conversion. And this same Saul is the Saul that we'll learn about that was persecuting the people of God, killing them, dragging them out of synagogues. Let's see what happened. The Bible says, this is Acts chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, I want to share something with you because a lot of people don't understand this, and it's very important. He said, if I found any of this way. Brothers and sisters, we're going to learn that God has a church. His church follows the way. Okay, his church, now Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. His church follows that way. So you will often have corporations that will tell you that they and only they are God's organized church. And some will even say if you're not in that corporation, you're not in an organized church. You don't have to be in a corporation to be in God's organized church. We must be in the way. And if we are in the way, we will want to be in accountable one to another, networking with one to another. That's what the disciples were at that time. They had just come together to pray and seek God, willing to let the scriptures be their guide and willing to humble themselves before the brethren. That was God's organization, brothers and sisters. They didn't even have a name at that time. And so a lot of people will tell you that you have to be a part of this organization, a part of that organization. This organization says they're the true church, that organization, and they're talking about corporation organizations. That's not what the Bible teaches. They weren't even in that. They were just followers of him who was in the way. And yet there was organization. There was accountability. There was elders and deacons. They came together to network, to humble themselves before God and let his truth be the source of their organization. And they all submitted themselves to that. And then God led them. That was the organization. That was the organized church at that time. Those who were filled with the Holy Spirit who walked in that way. All right. So he desired, it says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, that's Paul, Saul, going to the high priest, Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, let's explain that. You see, Saul, the Bible told us in Acts 7, that he held the coats of the men who had stoned Stephen. And he saw, therefore, Stephen's face lighted up. He saw him as Stephen was having a vision of heaven, and he said, Lord, don't let this sin go to their charge. He wanted God to have mercy on the people, even the people who were killing him. And the bottom line is that brought conviction. Most people who are about to be stoned to death are scared to death, and they weren't scared to death. They were nobly accepting this martyrdom in order for because it glorified God. They would rather die than commit sin. You see, when God gets a hold of your life, you would rather die than commit sin, and you will have power from Christ to do. For the Bible tells us, is it 2 Timothy 1:7? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So friends, if you're afraid, don't try to not be afraid. Just ask for the Spirit, because he's giving us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when the Spirit of God comes upon you, brothers and sisters, you're no longer afraid. You have a new governing power. You have a new life, something that you can't explain. You know, there's a little quartet song we used to sing. It says, something within me that holdeth the rein. Something within me that banishes pain. Something within me I cannot explain. All that I know, I thank my God, there's something within me. Conversion takes place when the Spirit of the Lord comes within you and he gives you that peace and joy and forgiveness, because you have to ask God to forgive you, and then you have a new power and a new heart. It is not a flight of feeling. You know, a lot of people go to church and they wave their hands and they dance and they do all that, but they're not studying the word like they ought, brothers and sisters. They might read a scripture and the rest of it's a bunch of dancing and all that. So don't confuse conversion by this flight of feeling. When you are converted, there are changes that take place in your life, new impulses, new desires. You just had a desire for some things, or you didn't feel like you could ever have the victory over a particular sin, then all of a sudden you don't want to do it anymore. Not to say that the temptation is not there, but you have something higher that's saying, you know what, do I really want to go that route? Where before you could never see yourself without that thing, okay? So, again, Saul is being converted here, brothers and sisters. And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Now, he realized he had papers to kill all the people in that way, followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. See, Paul was resisting conviction. That's what that meant. Why is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God will come to you, and he will come with conviction. It may be the result of some things you heard, some things that were said to you. Maybe you read something in the scriptures and you got convicted. But sometimes we just suppress those convictions. And the Bible says that's kicking against the pricks. But you see, God has a plan for your life, and he will let you kick against the pricks. But it might cause you to have a road to Damascus experience that might blind you. For at least for a little while. And so, my brothers and sisters, we should not resist the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. When you feel a sense that, hey, I'm not doing my best, I'm not living the kind of life I want my children to live. Come on now. I'm not doing what I want my daughter to do when she gets my age, or what I want my son to do when he gets my age, or whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, then the Spirit of God will come. But if you ask the Lord for help and victory, he will begin a work, and he will begin to work in your heart, and he will begin, but just stop kicking against the pricks. Stop excusing sin and ask the Lord for that victory, and stay on your knees begging God, friends. He will do it. Paul was persecuting God's people, but he was doing it honestly. Now, he was doing it honestly because he had been deceived by the leadership of the organized church. That had been God's organized church that God had well nigh rejected by this time. Their final probation would be done. At this point, the probation was done, because you had a prophecy in the Old Testament of 70 weeks, brothers and sisters. The 70-week prophecy ended when Stephen was stoned, and the gospel would therefore go to the Gentiles, and Paul was present. He was going to be God's primary instrument to give the gospel. So if you want to know where that prophecy is, it starts in Daniel. It's Daniel 9, 24 through 27, Daniel 8, 14. Those go together, and Daniel 8, 14 actually takes you into another prophecy, even that ends later. But that prophecy tells us the year that Jesus will be baptized, which was A.D. 27. It tells us the year that he would die on the cross, which is A.D. 31. And it told us the year that the gospel would go to the Gentiles, which is A.D. 34, and that the representation or the sign of that was the stoning of Stephen, where Saul was present, and he got his first conviction that he was doing wasn't right, that these people knew the Lord, but he was resisting that conviction. Friends, stop resisting the convictions of the Holy Spirit. When you start yielding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then God will begin to use you, my friends, and it will be powerful. So Jesus said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So what God is telling us is sometimes God might not give you the answer. He may have people that he has already in the way, his church, in the way to tell you what you must do. And that's why it's very important that you understand what the church was, because the church wasn't even a organization per se. They definitely didn't have a secular organizational structure like a corporation or anything of that nature. They were just the followers of Christ, those who chose to follow Christ, those who Christ had trained, those who Christ had led, those who Christ had corrected, and they were during Christ's lifetime, they weren't even fully converted, but Christ knew their heart, and he knew that once he died on Calvary, these people would humble themselves and would come together and put aside their differences, and they did that on the day of Pentecost, and that's when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were truly empowered to witness to others. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now, this is not the same Ananias and Sapphira, okay? That man was a wicked man who lied to the Holy Ghost. But this is a different Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Simon of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done by the saints, to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. So he decided to school the Lord and tell the Lord that who Paul was or who Saul was. But watch what God does. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Brothers and sisters, if you hang on, I'm going to give you my testimony in the second phase of this, and I will tell you, God will lead and guide and orchestrate your life, and he will bring you in touch with people who need to hear the gospel, and you're going to hear about that in the testimony. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You see, God has special people out there in the world, and he will bring God's people as evangelists to be with them, to meet them at airports, at bus stations, in the grocery store, wherever the Lord has you to meet, and you will be given opportunities, maybe just to pass out a tract. Sometimes you might be delayed at an airport to give a full-fledged Bible study on various hot topics that people need to know, and even be able to share the health message, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you the gospel will be finished, my friends. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Now this is the same man that was persecuting people who were following Christ, and now he goes in the synagogue and he's preaching Christ. Brothers and sisters, he was converted. You see, a lot of people are ready for conversion in a moment. A lot of people take a long time to be converted. But the bottom line is, Saul was doing what he did, honestly. He was messing up and killing God's people, honestly. He had been listening to the religious leaders of his day who had been telling him lies about God's true church, about God's true people, about Christ. And therefore, he thought that this little group of people who are no longer following the organized leadership, but were following Christ, he taught them the high priest, well, Paul thought that these people were evil people because they wouldn't listen to the rabbis, you see. And God had to show them, no, they're the ones following me. So Paul, once he realized that, he gave his heart to the Lord. He was converted. You can be converted in an instant, brothers and sisters. When Christ comes to you and you surrender your heart to him, your conversion can be instant. That doesn't mean you know everything. You might not be dressing right. You might not be eating right. You might not be doing right. But that is the beginning of your conversion. Now, you might have been in the church, just playing church and realizing from the church leadership that, you know, they are the ones that caused you to have less confidence in the church because the church leaders were not teaching the truth, my brothers and sisters, and leading you in a way. And you see what the deacons have done and what the elders have done and what the pastors are doing and so on and so forth. And it has caused you to lose your confidence in the Lord. But God, my friends, brings truth to you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God will have a people that will be converted, my friends. Conversion means you've changed. You got a new heart, and now you begin a walk with the Lord. You know, there's a song that says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. All right, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and he watched the gates day and night, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You see, even God's people sometimes have a hard time understanding that a man can be converted in an instant like this. And they just couldn't believe that he was converted. Because of the evil that he had done. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You need to be led by the Spirit. God will take some people that right now are the enemies of the gospel, people who are involved in the occult, people who are involved in spiritualism, people who are involved in all kinds of things, and they will come to Christ. And God's people have a lack of faith and won't readily accept them because they just can't believe that these people are converted. All right, let's keep reading. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. And when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. The church had rest because the primary persecutor was now in the church. Saul had become converted. And it came to pass as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. You see, as they preached the gospel, the health message was connected with it. They had the solution to the health problems of the people of their day, my brothers and sisters. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So she really helped a lot of people, helped the poor. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. So, you know, some churches have what they call a Dorcas Society. Basically, that's an area where they help the homeless. Maybe people donate food and donate clothing, and they call that Dorcas. Now you know where that came from. It's Tabitha, and her name was also interpreted Dorcas. but she was a person who helped a lot of the people, the poor especially. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. You see, the people were crying, therefore they were not believing that this could happen. And when you are in an atmosphere, brothers and sisters, where the Spirit of God tells you to pray about something that is seeming impossible, it's probably better to separate the unbelievers. Let them go ahead and go outside. And then you pray, those who believe that God can raise this person up or believe that God can heal this person, you know, then that group should be the ones that should stay. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. When he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So, brothers and sisters, again, God uses the teaching of the gospel, that means the truth, and as well as the healing of the sick. Now, in this case, it included the raising of the dead as well. But that's still restoration. Physical restoration was connected with spiritual inspiration, okay? Physical restoration was always connected with spiritual inspiration. We have a testimony to follow in a little while, and may God bless you. We're going to pray. Father, thank you very much. We pray that if we are listening and we are not converted, we pray that we will just say, Lord, I want to be converted. I want to have this change take place in my heart. I want the Spirit of God to fill me so that I will no longer desire the things of the world, but that I want to be a follower of Christ. I want my life to be used to be a vessel that you can use to save souls. Lord, I want to be in love with you, and I know I'm not, but I want to be. So please take my heart. I give it. I yield it to you, and you can take it, and please convert me. I want to be a follower of Christ fully. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and sisters, that's all it takes. If you pray that prayer sincerely, you can be converted. Amen? All right. It's time now for us to have our transition song, the torso song, and we will be back, and we'll be giving a testimony when we come back for our health segment of the broadcast.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, I have a testimony. My testimony is that, as you all know, my mother passed away on May the 11th. That was a Thursday, the Thursday before Mother's Day. Now, the Bible says it doesn't condemn sorrow, and you would be less than human if you did not have sorrow when you've had a good mother in your life, okay? Now, some people who had mothers that were not loving and kind, maybe no emotion came when they heard that their mother died or whatever the case might be. It might have been joy. But when you've had a good mother, there is sorrow. You know, we had mom for, coming on 3 years. It's a little short of 3 years. And so, you know, God gave us this assignment to minister to her. That assignment came from God, although you would have thought that assignment would not be from God because we couldn't do all the type of ministry that we would like to do, couldn't travel as much, couldn't leave her alone for a long time. And so it affected, we couldn't even do as many retreats, and we couldn't help as many people. So God has a way, but, you know, during that time, we were able to write the biblical booster, able to write, I would say, 90%+ of the textbook that's about to be a part of a school. And so God has been good. And, of course, we continue to teach and preach, and the broadcasts have been going forward. God has reassigned us now so that we can do ministry full-time in the traditional sense. And he has said that her, after 92 years, her work is done on this earth. And so mom passed away on a Thursday. As some of you all know, she actually died right before the broadcast on Thursday. I didn't say anything on the Thursday broadcast because we didn't have an opportunity to let the family know. So I announced it to you all on Friday. That's the Friday before Mother's Day. And so my wife had this ministry she had to do to help a friend, and she had been putting it off. Being the good wife that she is, she put that off until I was whole, making sure she stayed and helped and was with me at that difficult time. So we concluded that there really was no reason. Everything had pretty much been taken care of as far as mom's affairs and business that could be taken care of. And so my wife went on Sunday to minister to someone. And we concluded also that it probably wasn't best for me to stay home by myself. Okay, and so I decided to take a trip, and I prayed about it. The Lord gave me permission to take a trip, and, you know, I didn't know where to go. I was just asking the Lord, you know, where to go, and there had been some, I heard about a family that we had ministered to, and the husband was in the hospital. I heard about that, and also it was Mother's Day, and there was another family where the husband and father had cancer, and although he passed after some time, he outlived the doctors. I mean, they gave him 24 hours to live. He lived months longer than that. And you know, the family really, really rallied. I mean, the children would come home. He was a senior citizen. So adult children came home. They all rallied and they took turns. This was new to them, so they were learning based on coaching how to give the treatments and do the juicing and all of that, and they did a wonderful job. They just did a wonderful job. For whatever reason, you know, God chose not to completely heal him, and he did have a very difficult case. And some of it, they feel that he just wasn't able to follow all the program. But nonetheless, I called them, and they were very happy to have me, even though it was Mother's Day. That allowed for all the children to be there, for the majority of them to be there. And so I took a trip on the road, and I drove 6 hours into Indianapolis and saw a family. And then From there, I drove another 4 hours to Chicago, and that family put me up for the night. And before, when I got there, they gave me a little food, and of course, they knew how I ate because they were feeding their father that way, so they put before me a nice vegan rice and broccoli dish, and that was nice. And we ate, we talked, they had questions. They wondered if they had done everything the best that they could have. They were asking questions about could anything have been done differently, you know, those types of questions. So it was really a blessing to sit around and just talk with them and encourage them and let them know you all did a wonderful job. Sometimes God, it's just not God's will. We have human bodies. We're not going to live forever. But we do expect that when Jesus comes, that we will rise in the first resurrection, okay? So we had a wonderful time. Stayed there that night, got up in the wee hours of the morning so I could get out of Chicago traffic, and I basically drove back home, made one stop, but drove back home. And then I caught a flight on Tuesday morning. So basically, God had me drive, what was that? But see, if I had driven straight to Chicago, that's a 7-hour drive. But I drove to Indianapolis, which is 6 hours, and then another 4. So I drove 10 hours one way and then 7 hours back. And then I got back Monday afternoon. And then Tuesday morning, I flew to Houston, Texas. There were people in Texas and Louisiana that I had either ministered to, or they ministered to me, or I had never met them, or people I hadn't seen in a very long time. And so the Lord just kind of impressed me to go there. So I flew into Houston, rented a car, and I spent Tuesday and Wednesday in Louisiana, visiting several people in Louisiana. I was in the Alexandria area of Louisiana and the Shreveport area of Louisiana. So that's what I did Tuesday and Wednesday. And then, let me see, did I say that right? Yes, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I drove back through Houston and visited. Oh, this was powerful. Okay, you have to understand, I'm 4 hours at this point from Houston when I'm in, like, Alexandria, Louisiana. God impressed me at 3 o'clock in the morning to go see this family where there was somebody in the family who was had been sick, and they had been doing natural remedies. The person did also do, they had cancer. They also did chemo, but they still wanted to do natural remedies to build up their immune system, so on and so forth. And that's what some people choose to do. We don't necessarily recommend that, but the bottom line is that's what that person did. But I had never met her, and she was a businesswoman. And so I at 3 o'clock in the morning, God told me to go see her. Now, she's 3 hours past Houston, so I have to get up early. So I had to say, wait a minute, I got to get up now because I had to leave by 4. I ended up getting out by 4:30, and I had to drive 4 hours through Houston on to San Antonio. So I drove 7 hours. You know, sometimes the sacrifice that you make is what impresses people. This dear sister, I tried to reach her. I was saying, well, she doesn't want to talk to me maybe. She's not answering her phone. Come to find out, she was having phone problems. Her phone was just messing up on her, and she wasn't getting her calls. So I knew where her business was, and I walked in, and you should have seen the look on her face because she had seen me. You know, I'm on the Internet. She's seen my face on Facebook or whatever. Not Facebook. Well, maybe Facebook, but definitely seen me on video and on our website, that type of thing. So I walk in, and she just, like, mouth drops like she couldn't believe it. And I told her my story. I said, listen, God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was on my way to Houston. God said, go through Houston, go another 3 hours, and go see this dear sister. And so she said, but I said, listen, I don't want to, you know, mess up your day. I know you're a businesswoman. You got stuff to do. She said, when the Holy Spirit has been sent to me, now she's not talking about me being the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit using me. She said, when the Holy Spirit has been sent to you, you need to drop everything. So she just, canceled her appointments and did all that. And so she knew of a place where I could get a vegan dish. And so she took me over there, and we just sat and we talked a little bit. And she told me how she had gotten depressed. She told me how she had started drinking, you know, just because of the depression. And yet she knew that was not the way. She told me about the challenges with all she had to do. She was somewhat of a caregiver to her mother, you know, and so on and so forth. So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that God calls you to ministry. And just like we're reading in the book of Acts, he will call you. He had Philip go to the Ethiopian eunuch who was sitting in the chariot and teach him the gospel. And then God just caused him to disappear. And the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, and then he had the man of God disappear. So God will send you sometimes to people. Sometimes you might drive a certain distance. Sometimes you might fly a certain distance, you know. Now, I want to tell you this. This is part of the testimony that a ministry trip, a ministry invitation had come to us, and so we had to get our own flights. So the flights came from our own pocket. They weren't able to do that. But the bottom line is that got postponed. So we actually had flight credits. So when we got the flight credits, that's where we used for this type of ministry that we did. And we just said, well, if they ever, you know, go the other, if this invitation ever returns again, God will provide. But we used those flight credits, so we didn't have to, for the most part, pay for any flights. And to where we had to go. Remember, Maria had a mission in one place and I had a mission in another place, and we were supposed to meet back up on Friday, both of us flying in on Friday back home. And so I knew of another person in San Antonio that was like a person I just, you know, talked to and given some advice to. So I stopped by her house and her family's house, and you know, we just chatted for 15 minutes or so, and then I went back to Houston and met with a family that we've been talking for some time, but I had never met. So they put me up for the night, and so I stayed there in Houston. And so I got up in the morning, I thought in plenty of time, but there was some issue with one of my bags. And so they said that because of that issue with one of my bags, they didn't think that even though I could get on the plane, they didn't feel like my bags would be there in Pittsburgh because of that issue with one of the bags. I had the choice, but I said, okay. They said it's probably better to rebook you. So they rebooked me to another flight. So my wife was going to get in about noon. And I was going to get in around the same time. So because of the rebooking, and found out they actually, from another city, rebooked my wife, but she could still get in around the same time. And so I had to be rebooked to get there about 4 o'clock, okay? So when I took that flight, it took me to Denver, Colorado. So when I was in Denver, Colorado, when I went to that flight, they made an announcement, and they basically said, this flight has been overbooked. Now, they asked for volunteers to, rebook, but if you got rebooked, I would get back home after the Sabbath, and it would be at 1:30 in the morning. So I was like, Lord, do you want me to do that? Now, they were offering a certain amount of vouchers, which was appealing. And so I had to pray. I said, Lord, do I choose the money? It's not really money. It's vouchers. It's not like I can put it in my pocket. But it is vouchers for future flights. Now, keep in mind, we had used the flights that were for a future ministry situation. We had used that up in this trip. Because the Lord led us to, and we just said if they ever call for the other, the Lord will provide. Remember that? So I was praying about that, but I was saying, Lord, you know, I don't want to choose money over the Sabbath, because, you know, it's not a sin to travel on the Sabbath in certain situations, but you need to know that the Lord is leading. You should do what you can as to not travel on the Sabbath. That's what counsel says, okay? We should avoid it if we can, but you can't always avoid it, but you avoid it when you can. Well, when they rebooked me to that one flight, I was willing to be the last person on the plane. So the Lord showed me that if they've overbooked this flight, I'm probably not going to get on there anyway, because there are only 60 people that can get on the plane, and my number would have been possibly one of those who couldn't make it onto the plane. So I prayed about it. The Lord gave me peace, and I said, okay, I probably wouldn't get on the plane anyway. But they hold you off to the side, and if they can get another person on the plane, then from those who are held off to the side, they'll go ahead and put you on the plane. So I said, okay, well, I tell you what, Lord, if you want me I'll put my name on as one who's willing, and then if you want me on the plane, somebody won't show up, and then they'll just put me on the plane. I left it up to the Lord. So the bottom line is, now this is in the morning time, okay? So think about this. I'm in the airport in Denver, Colorado from, probably 10 o'clock in the morning until the flight would be like at 8 o'clock Denver time that night. Now keep in mind, Denver is 2 hours behind, so that would be like me leaving at 11 o'clock Eastern and getting in at 1:30 in the morning. But it was still, that's a long time, 10 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll just study the word and pray, and I just asked him for his guidance, and he gave me peace about it. And the testimony partly is they raised the bar in the amount of money that they gave in vouchers replaced the money that we had to spend in the tickets for that future ministry project, or whatever you want to call it, that we had to go to. So we got the money back in vouchers. So remember, we had used the flights to do ministry now. We got that money back. So that's a powerful testimony, because it was a good amount of money. And so I just said, okay, well, thank you, Jesus. And I just start walking. And I said, okay, well, I'll just do some study and some computer work. And I was saying, Lord, just, you know, show me a good place, because, you know, I knew I needed to have a place to plug in. And, you know, they have these little tables with chairs and things like that. And there was one table. It was full on one side. It had one open seat on the other side. It was next to this lady. So she had a nice, you know, pleasant demeanor. And I just stopped, said hello, and she said hello. And I put my things down, and, you know, just kind of little small talk. And she seemed engaging, like she was interested in what I was talking about. And so we just got into a conversation about the Lord. And I asked her, I said, are you a Christian? And she said, no, not really. And she just started talking about how, you know, she's got Christian people in her family, but been there, done that, just not seen. So she had kind of gotten involved in the occult, okay? And so a lot of people would say, well, you better leave. That person's part of the occult. I opened my computer screen, and, you know, you have a Bible program on your screen. And we started talking, and I will just tell you, we had a Bible study for about, because she had a long layover, so she was there, and her flight did not go out until 6 o'clock that evening, whereas mine went out at 8 o'clock that evening. So I don't know how long we sat and studied, but it was at least probably 3 hours. And so the bottom line, friends, is we had a Bible study on the state of the dead. We had a Bible study on the second coming of Christ. We had a Bible study on the millennium, that thousand-year period between the first and second resurrection. We had a Bible study on the mark of the beast. She was engaged. She was very interested in what was being said. Then we also talked about the health message, and she was interested. You see, you don't know. This person was actually, she was heading to a certain area, and even though she had a business meeting to go to, she wanted to go out to Yosemite. She's into nature, and she was already interested in a healthier way of life, but she didn't know how to do it. And so we were able to give her some thoughts and, you know, some ideas that she could use to help her change her diet. She'd already been trying to change her diet. You see, you never know what God is doing. So God actually had me rebooked twice to have that several-hour Bible study with this individual. We exchanged information. She said she was interested in maybe listening to some of the broadcasts, so I'm definitely going to. You know, I don't know. She's on Central Time, so I don't know if she'll, you know, be able to get up that early to listen live. But the point being made is she is going to listen to the broadcast. And I'm going to definitely send this one to her because, you know, people need to know that God sent. But she was 100% clear that this was a divine appointment. I mean, she said that. And I will tell you, I asked her, do you believe that I've told you the truth? She said, yes. This is true. And she said it answered a lot of questions. See, a lot of people turn away from Christianity because some of the things that we promote in Christianity are not in the Bible, my friend. And because they're not in the Bible, let me just change some things. I'm in the sunlight here, sunlight glaring. So because they're not in the Bible, it's a turnoff. And so, you know, people, why would I serve a God that would torture people forever in hell? Well, God doesn't do that, okay? That's a lie, you see? And so she learned about, you know, Bible prophecy, and she learned how that God actually showed me. What we ended up doing was, and I think this is an awesome way, if you have a short time to teach people about prophecy, just have a study. And all I did in that part of the study was I just identified the symbol, showed her that a woman is a church. I showed her that a beast is a nation. I showed her that seven heads and ten horns represent Satan and pagan Rome. I showed her, we didn't actually go into time prophecy. That would be, we just didn't have time for that. But the bottom line is if you show people the symbol. So the bottom line, friends, is that that was a divine appointment. I actually, we walked toward her flight, you know, had prayer, and she was on her way with a new vision and a new revelation. And she realized that, okay, all the things that had disappointed me regarding Christianity, it just might have been the people. And she wants to be a Christian again. So I get on the plane, and I don't remember now, I had been rebooked. So now that I'm rebooked, my luggage is no longer with me. My luggage will get there before I get there. And so I didn't want to be at the back of the plane, my checked luggage. I didn't want to be at the back of the plane. So I was trying to find, but I kind of like aisle seats. That's just me. I'd rather not be in the middle if I don't have to be, or at the window. I just kind of like the aisle seat. And so I was looking for an aisle seat, and I found one, you know, relatively near the front, and there was a couple sitting there. And, you know, they smiled, and I put my bag up the top, and I sat down. They spoke, and, you know, very nice. And the same thing happened. They were asking me, what do you do? And I told them about what happened and my flight and everything. And we ended up having a 2+ hour Bible study. The same thing, the same topics, everything was the same. And they were very interested. So prayerfully, they might be inspired to check out our website, and maybe we can get together because they're in this Pittsburgh area. So my brothers and sisters, that's my testimony. I didn't arrive home until about 3 o'clock in the morning on Sabbath morning. But the Lord was in the trip because I was ministering. And so that's my testimony. Two families got to hear serious gospel topics, that topics that you don't normally present, but sometimes you just have a short time to share with people because time is so short. And we're going to see that acceleration of people accepting the truth in these last days. So I just wanted to share my testimony, brothers and sisters. God is merciful. He's good. And we're able to share the gospel. And, you know, Mother's Day was a day of ministry for me, traveling. And that's what my mother would want me to do. And I know that she would want me to do that. She knew the sacrifice that we were making in order to take care of her. So she would want us to get out and go minister to people. And that's what we did. And so that takes the sting out of death. Jesus is coming soon. We can hasten. That means you can make it come sooner, the second coming of Christ, as we get out and witness for the Lord. And so, my brothers and sisters, God bless each and every one of you. Welcome back. Thank you. Brother Peyton's welcoming us back on Facebook. Thank you, brother. And let's see what the time is. It is 7:02. It's a Sunday morning. If there is anyone that wants to share anything, we'll leave it open for you. If there is anyone, just go ahead and press *6 at this time. Roll call. We have, that's going to be Ohio. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware. So welcome to our new Delaware person calling from Delaware. Amen. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia on the line. And on Facebook, we have Virginia. We have North Carolina. And I'm going to say Maryland, but I'm not so sure if this dear sister is in Maryland anymore. All right. Anyone want to share anything, go ahead and press star 6 if you'd like to. And when we're done with sharing and caring, then we'll close out at this time. Is there anyone? All right. We've got our dear sister from Ohio on the line. Good morning. God bless you this morning.
Good morning, and God bless you as well. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And my condolences for your loss. I wanted to say that your testimony was very powerful, and it's really good to see how you are using this energy at this time from your experience to spread the gospel even further.
Praise the Lord.
And I also wanted to, I'm actually reception, but can you hear me? Am I coming through clear?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Okay, because I'm actually in West Virginia. But I just, and you know, I actually missed your announcement about what you were going to be doing. And I've been trying to get on every morning.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and to God be the glory, because he wouldn't let me stop trying. But thank you so much for doing what you do. And I know and I pray that God has even bigger things for you guys to do in your ministry. So hold fast to the faith, Maranatha. Thank you.
Thank you, sis. God bless you. God bless you. All right, friends, God is good. Thank you all for joining us today. We are back on at this present schedule, our normal schedule, and if there's any changes, we will let you know. But the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face shine upon you and give you peace. At this time, my wife, Undreamed Of, will have our closing prayer at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We thank you for your word this morning. We ask that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day, leading, guiding, instructing, and directing your life, always keeping us on the path of righteousness. Bless every heart in a special way. And thank you, Lord, for giving us this time to be able to just give you praise, glory, and honor. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come. Eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part and say, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.